Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 52 and has been sponsored by Pearlescence Yarns, Verena Knitting, and Abstract Fibers. This week's episode includes On the Needles,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
and Straw into Gold. Come on, let's chat. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. You know, it's Mother's Day today, but the podcast won't go out till early tomorrow morning. But if you haven't yet, this is your reminder to call your mother. In fact, if you haven't yet spoken to your mother for Mother's Day, I think this is a great opportunity to pause the podcast and give your mom a call.
Yes, good idea.
So you go do that and we'll be here. Welcome back. Thanks for calling your mother. Now, let's have a word from our sponsors and get into the meat of our Mother's Day episode. This week on The Needles is proudly sponsored by Verena Knitting.
Verena Knitting's website is not only a destination for bonus patterns and exclusive subscriber content. Now available through Verena's website, purchase hard-to-find yarns as seen in each issue of Verena Knitting. Come on over and visit our newly opened yarn shop at verenaknitting.com and see what we have to offer. And if you have not yet subscribed, all new subscribers receive a free gift from Yucalan as our way of saying thanks for supporting Verena Knitting.
Alrighty, let's get into the knitting talk. Welcome back, listeners. We hope you enjoyed the chat we had with Cheryl Oberle. We need to stop calling them interviews, I think. Because we don't really interview, we just chit-chat. And I think that's more us, right?
Absolutely.
So, I hope you enjoyed our chat with Cheryl Oberle. I think that she's just charming, and we hope you did too. And there has been knitting. Like I said, after the Galena chat, when we are away from the microphones, we miss you guys. So we have got a lot of knitting, and oh, how many disasters I have this week.
Yes.
But let's start with Mother's Day, since today is Mother's Day in the United States. Do you want to talk about what we did today, Mom? And what you're actually getting?
I think I'm still a little bit deaf from the experience.
Seriously.
Huh?
So this morning, Andrew and I called Mom and invited her to go see the new Star Trek movie with us, because Andrew is a huge Trekkie, and...
So is Mom.
You are too. You're more an original series girl, though.
Yeah, I'm a closet Trekkie, what can I say?
But that's okay. So this morning, we went to the first showing of Star Trek at the IMAX Theater, and this is peripherally related to knitting, so stay with me, please. I know we're going a little off topic, but we went to the IMAX Theater, and that's by where I work and where we live, and I was kind of surprised that they charged $4 extra on top of the ticket for the IMAX experience.
Expensive.
It was a bit expensive. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of gift certificates that I gotten through work because I won contests at our parties or whatever. So we went and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be low cost, which will make everyone happy. And we're going to get to watch this great movie, which is going to be really exciting because I really wanted to see the midnight showing on Thursday, but I was just exhausted and I had to work the next day. So no midnight movies for me, but that's okay. So we went to the theater and it was totally packed. And I was the first one in because Mom was washing up and Andrew was getting popcorn, and I was sent into the theater, thank goodness, to go get seats when we did. Now, when we bought our ticket, there were 55 seats left. Go with me. Mm-hmm. And there was one row in the theater that had three seats in it that were open. Every other row had like one or two seats, but not next to each other. So I walked down and the inner knitter in me came out. And I look and I said, is this seat taken? And then I pointed at the one, you know, a couple people down and said, is this seat taken? And then I pointed at the third one and said, is this seat taken? And no, none of them were taken. And I was like, all right, there are three of us and we need to sit together. So if it wouldn't be too much trouble, could you guys either move towards the center or towards the edge? We'd like to sit next to each other. And everyone was really obliging and like sort of polite. There was one guy who was a little bit like weird about it, but the thing I've noticed is when you go to these events and you have knitters with you, these problems get solved. You know? Nobody goes against a knitter. And so that's what we were talking about in the car on the way home, is that, you know, Andrew could hear my voice directing traffic so that we could sit together. But it was just like, you know, use your courtesy and be helpful and blah, blah, blah. So it worked out really nicely. So I enjoyed the movie. I got a slight headache from it. I'm finding that IMAX movies are not for me. But it was a good movie otherwise. I recommend you go and see it. There's a lot of punching and action, which I enjoy, so... And a lot of excellent references and great actors. And my the knitwear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So, I'm just going to say this. Zachary Quinto, who plays Spock in the first scene where he is grown-up-ish Spock, is on screen in what looks like a sweater made out of homespun. Like, something that fits him poorly and was not really put together real well. And my goodness, there was a lot of knitwear in this movie, by the way.
Knitwear or jersey?
I would say, like, there was a couple of interesting pieces. Like, I mean, this is no Cider House Rules, which was all sweaters and beautiful stuff. But like, there was the weird Spock sweater that was made out of, like, charcoal gray homespun. And all the way home from the movie, I was heckling Andrew. And I was talking about, like, on Vulcan, is it logical to have acrylic sweaters, really? Maybe the sheep on Vulcan are acrylic merinos. Who knows? No, I'm not bagging on acrylic, but, like, really, I guess it was maybe supposed to look spacey.
It looked incongruous with the exquisitely tailored shirt he was wearing underneath.
Well, and on top of that, all of them were wearing these beautiful wool suits that had been, like, tailored and cut. And, by the way, I love the uniforms in this movie. They're not the crappy t-shirts and whatever from the original series, which I think was a nice update.
They used cheap polyester jersey.
In the original series.
Don't you remember seeing them on display at Great America?
We also saw them at the Star Trek Museum in Vegas.
So you did.
They don't look so bad up close, but, you know, the movie ones were excellent, except all this HD stuff puts a lot of pressure on people. And again, you can see the stitch definition. Simon Pegg is wearing a really interesting hat. Scotty.
Oh.
And it's constructed in a really interesting way, and he's wearing a weird metallic scarf scene in the first. There's a lot of, like, interesting knitwear. It's not a movie I would go to for the knitwear.
No.
But I can't think of anything that I would go to for the knitwear, specifically. I went because I love Zachary Quinto, and Star Trek is pretty awesome, too.
I really like Leonard Nimoy. He was very attractive when he was much younger. Of course, I had a crush on him when he was in Mission Impossible.
Oh, well.
The series.
You know. So anyway, we went to the movie, and IMAX is very loud and noisy and a little bit more expensive, so just keep that in mind, just so you know. I didn't really find it to be all that different from the regular thing, but if you're an audiophile and a videophile, it can be. But anyway, knitting, acrylic sheep, Vulcan, not logical. Anyway, so, yes, I have been knitting. There has been knitting, there has been spinning, there has been disasters. Do you want to start with what you've been working on?
I'm working on the Katarina sweater from
Coco Knits.
Mm-hmm. And it seems I'm sweater binging.
That's good.
All I want to do. Remember the socks I used to be working on?
Yeah.
You remember them good, because I don't.
Ah, yes.
They have fallen by the wayside while I have thrown myself into...
Into sweaters. Palooza.
Which is a good thing, because that gives me an opportunity to do something about all the yarn that I like that's in my stash.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to match yarn to patterns. Mm-hmm. And the Katarina has interesting construction, and the fronts are very minimal.
Okay. Yeah, they are.
And what makes it close and overlap is the very wide collar.
Collar, yeah.
And it's a very intelligent construction, so I'm still working on that.
Yeah, I didn't bother to knit because I don't like seaming, but when I was working on my Katarina, which is so on the back burner. For all of you people who are feeling time pressure to join the knit along, I'll be lucky if I finish this sweater by December, because really... I said I was going to block sleeves the other day, and then something happened. Something always happens. So until my sleeves get blocked, I can't set them in and knit my collar and cuffs. So this sweater might never get finished. I mean, it will, but, you know, that's what it feels like.
Well, I joined your knit along because...
Yeah, I started my Carly somewhere. It's somewhere.
My Carly had been on hold until it got blocked.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about blocking later in this episode.
Your Katerina has kind of stopped moving on for the same reason?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
I mean, the body's blocked, but the sleeves aren't, so.
So you started a Carly?
I did.
And I started a Katerina.
Perfect.
It seems like a snake that bites its own tail somehow.
It could be, but you know what? This also gives people the opportunity to join in whenever. And that's the whole thing, is that's why we're calling a knit more along. You're knitting two sweaters at a time for some of us, and do it at your own pace. We're not going to set... I really don't like it when people set timelines, but we've talked about this at nauseam.
Yeah, that takes the joy out of
knitting. So anyway, I have been knitting as well. I have been binging on lace. Now, before you get too excited, most of that's going to fall into when knitting attacks. But after we were listening to the Cheryl Oberle podcast, I was looking at some yarn because I have these two skirts I bought last season from New York and Company, which are turquoises and browns and pale white and other things. And I really needed something like a wrap or a cardigan or something to go with them. So I dug through my stash and I couldn't find anything. And then my girlfriend Cynthia brought over some sea silk, which was perfect. But it wasn't quite right for what I wanted to do, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to use it. And she said, well, you know, hang on to it. Decide later if you want it or you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was digging around in my living room, and I found a bag of cashmere that I had forgotten about.
In the living room?
Well, in here, in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. It seems the yarn harlot isn't the only person who stashes yarn in
weird
unexpected places.
Yeah. Well, I have, you know, storage and things all over the house, and I'd actually used this color to knit the dashing mitts for Allison when she was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't thought about it because this isn't a color I would normally knit for myself. This is a color of cashmere. So, little history lesson. When Andrew and I first started dating, the internet and knitters was not so big as it is now. And I bought periwinkle colored, that's not periwinkle, periwinkle's purplish.
It's light blue.
Yeah, that's like a light turquoise. But I bought it directly from Jade Sapphire in China on eBay for like $5 a skein. I mean, it was just a steal. I mean, shipping was like $15 or $20, but for 5 skeins.
Yeah, it's amazing. Maybe somebody didn't do the conversion math right.
I don't know, but I paid nothing for it. Like, my broke college student self could pay for cashmere. So I bought the bag because I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to knit it for somebody else, but it turns out they don't appreciate knitwear. So I kept it because it's cashmere.
Yeah.
And so it actually is perfect to go with the skirts that I wanted to match and a couple of other things, which works out nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the record, I think it's hilarious that I will pay 5 times more, 6 times more for the yarn to go with something than the something I've bought. I just think that's kind of funny. So, anyway, having said that, I am knitting the Erin Pocket Shawl out of Folk Shawls because after we talked to Cheryl, I was flipping through that. And I was like, I'd really like to knit a Cheryl Oberle shawl, another one, because I knit one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really enjoying it. Now, the Jade Sapphire I am knitting with is like a sport weight. And I'm knitting it on like 6s because her pattern's written for worsted weight yarn on, I think, 8s or 9s. But to be completely fair, she's like 6 feet tall and I'm not. So
very definitely not.
Very definitely not.
You're more pocket size.
I am. And I think with the amount of cashmere I have, I will be able to use every last yard of it and get something that's not too long for me because an 80-inch long shawl is crazy long on me. It's too long. It's too much shawl. Which
you'd
think
be tripping over it almost.
I have. Two of the shawls I knitted last summer were 80 inches. And my taller friends have offered to take them off of my hands, but I'm not quite ready to part with them yet. So I'm doing it on a smaller needle. The width is, I made the width match with math, and the length will be a good length. I think it'll be like maybe 60 inches when I'm done with it, which is good for just a wrap. So I'm enjoying it. I'm not doing the pockets because I don't want to. And it's really pretty and it's really fun to knit. So I'm enjoying that tremendously.
Good.
What are you working on besides Carly?
Nothing.
Not Cardi, Katerina. You're only working on one sweater?
I told you I'm bizarrely monogamous.
Whoa.
Yeah. This hasn't happened in forever.
Wow.
The only thing I want to do is either work on the bags out of...
out of my old attitude shirts.
Attitude shirts that I'm sewing.
Uh-huh.
But that's not knitting.
Nice.
And yeah, Katarina it is right now.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's awesome.
Which one?
Your sweater and the bags. Both, actually. Well, I've been not so monogamous because I have been looking to be inspired. So I actually have been kind of moving forward with a lot of stuff in weird ways. So, for example, I finished the first sock out of the... so my show notes sock is the... or my podcast knitting is the Abstract Fibers... I think it's their Super Sock Yarn in Newport, which I've talked about before, but it's purples and hot pink and bright royal blue and like a dark teal.
Mm-hmm.
And little bitty spots of white, which are intentional, and I really like them. So I'm enjoying knitting it. I finished the first sock, which was exciting, and now I'm working on the second sock. And I wanted to knit some lace, and I went through my library of lace books, and I was kind of like, I kind of want to knit this, I kind of want to knit this, and I cast on for the theatrical lace shawl by Eugene Bugler in the XRX Shawls and Scarves book, and I cast it on in some Malabrigo lace, because I had some in a beautiful, beautiful, like, dark hunter foresty green, and my goodness, that was not enough lace. When you build something as lace, you need to have more than one yarn over for like 20 stitches.
Huh.
I ended up doing more counting than lace knitting. So, I think I did more cables than lace knitting in that too, so that wasn't going to happen because I'm sitting here counting to like 20.
Why?
Because the pattern repeats were pretty long. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun knitting. And it's beautiful in the picture.
Would it have been easier if you had dropped in a stitch marker?
I did have stitch markers, but you still had to count in the middle. And the way it's charted is a little bit weird. Like, it's not technically weird, but it's lace on both sides. So you have yarn overs going on the right side and the wrong side, but only one stitch every 20 stitches. So I decided that was not going to be the lace, and I put it aside, and it's going to get ripped out and turned into something else. Mm-hmm. So, and that was how I ended up starting the Erin Pocket Shawl, was I was working on the theatrical lace, and I was like, this is miserable. I hate this. I'm never knitting this, ever. So, yeah.
Strong words.
I think if you build something as lace, it needs to have more than one hole. Every 20 stitches. I was pretty bitter about this, in fact, because somehow when you're doing, like, for example, my Print of the Wave stole that I did last year, mm-hmm. the Onijang one, didn't seem so challenging because, I mean, there was a lot of holes, but you weren't counting that much. You were counting 3 or 5 or 7,
sweetie, if that makes sense. I have a dumb question.
Sure.
Didn't you see the picture?
I saw the picture, but, you know.
Didn't the picture look not lacy?
The picture didn't look lacy per se, but it didn't look like it was going to be rocket science to knit it. And it's not technically rocket science, but really something that looks that simple shouldn't require so much brain power, you know?
Okay. So in lieu of lace, you're knitting something that...
is dense.
Has no lace at all.
Yes. I know. I'm a creature of mystery. I'm like a chimera.
Yeah, I'm totally confused now.
Yeah, so, and then I went back to an UFO because we talked a couple of weeks ago about Sock Innovations by Cookie A,
mm-hmm.
and how incredibly inspired I was, and Andrew was like, oh, I'm so excited, you should knit me some cookie socks. So I thought, all right. He had the new lighting installed in the living room and kitchen, which is lovely to knit by, I might add. And I promise this ties in. So I pulled some of his socks out that I cast on 2 years ago. And, yeah. And the first sock was like a half inch from the toe. And Andrew wears size 12 shoes. That is a lot of sock, by mm-hmm. the way. So the first sock was done almost up to the toe. So I finished the toe on that one and cast on the second one and raced down the leg because he likes his socks. Oh, and these are the Gentleman's Fancy Ribbed Socks by Nancy Bush in... Knitting in the Old Way. Not Knitting the Old Way. Oh my gosh, my brain is totally blanking. It's not Folk Socks.
Why don't you just put it in the
show notes? I'll put it in the show notes. Everything we talk about today will be linked in the show notes. But so I race down the leg, and I'm pretty much, I think I'm done with the heel too. And I left my bag on the table, which I'd cleared almost everything out of the rooms that were getting worked on for the lighting. And I got insulation in my knitting bag. So if you have any suggestions on how to get insulation out of your knitting, because it doesn't feel good.
Fiberglass?
I don't know. I think I might have to toss the second sock and restart it and buy new yarn, but I'm hoping that's not the case. So if you have any suggestions on how to get it out, I'm going to try vacuuming it. That seems like a really excellent idea. It might end poorly and make for a great story later, but that's kind of like what happened to me this week. So, yeah.
Was that your when knitting attacks?
No. Oh, no. That's not even my when knitting attacks. That's just, I need a suggestion on how to get fiberglass out of knitting or insulation out of knitting. Or if it's just a lost cause, just please let me know. Either in the show notes or on the Ravelry page, which I'll give you the addresses to at the end of the show. So let's move on to something a little bit more pleasant, shall we? Let's get some maternal advice on this Mother's Day.
This week on Mother's Knows Best, we will talk about blocking. So I have the Carly that I finished mostly.
Uh-huh.
All that's left is the collar. And the directions said to block it before attaching the collar. So block it, attach the sleeves, and then when the sleeves are in, then pick up and do the collar.
That sounds logical.
Oddly so. The thing is, the Carly is all ribbing, and it needs to be blocked very gently.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I aggressively block it, the ribbing will lose its springiness.
Mm-hmm.
And springiness is a technical term.
It is.
So I put the blocking wires in and pinned it down to dimension. And because it is ribbing,
mm-hmm,
I still want it to look professional and tailored. So what I want the front ends to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to meet at the bust. I don't want to be gaping.
Okay.
But I don't want, and I can't block it square because then the waist shaping will get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of looking curvy, I will look blobby,
mm-hmm,
which is not the look I'm going for.
I don't think anyone's going for that look.
No, so it needs to be blocked very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did, I pinned it down and put the iron on steam and then selectively steamed spots. So I steamed around the bottom edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I may go back and do some touch-up steaming later.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of afraid of ruining the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I didn't want to ruin the waist. So I didn't steam around the waist, so it does pull in.
Mm-hmm.
And also, my shoulders are much narrower than my hips. So if it pulls in a little, that's fine.
Now, did you block it flat, or did you block it 3D?
Flat.
Because you have a dress form that you could pin it to and block it 3D perfectly to your dimensions.
Yeah, except...
Except?
She is 20 pounds lighter than I am. Not pound-wise, but from the time I had Zsa Zsa, the dress firm made,
mm-hmm,
I've gained 20 pounds.
We should get someone to do a duct tape mold of you.
No, actually, I got in contact with the lady who made my twin for me.
Yeah.
And so what she said is to take quilt batting,
mm-hmm,
and make her a little bit more fluffy in the spots that I had gotten fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, she misunderstood and told me to take a sander.
Oh.
And sand the form flatter.
Ah.
But that would have just compounded the problem because over the past 10 years, mm-hmm, has it been, I've gained a bit of weight. And I, if I do so, say so myself, I think it suits me very well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep the weight and not try to diet down. But now, Zsa Zsa isn't quite up to my curvaceous standards.
I think you should pad Zsa Zsa, and next time you've got a sweater to block, block her on the dress form.
That's a brilliant idea.
I just thought of it.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
I have been thinking about it, but I don't want to do it by myself.
Yeah, you can get help. Help is available.
So, yeah, and that's where I'm at. And I've got two more sweaters waiting to be blocked.
Yep.
So I took off the Carly, and I didn't have enough time for blocking, but I did have enough time to get started on putting the wires in the bottom. So the bottom of Carly, no, the bottom of Martyr is wired.
Oh, nice.
Awaiting time on my part.
With Steamy.
No, Raventa.
Raventa?
Yeah, the iron.
Ah, okay. That works.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I was going to talk about how I blocked my twist cardigan, because I was... I'm totally blanking on what I wanted to knit. There was a sweater that I'm in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly this is a deep and... Oh! My...
You know, that's what happens when you're too close to explosions.
What?
Your brain is addled.
My brain is addled?
Yes. You're not your usual sharp self.
It's okay.
All those explosions have had their toll on you.
They have. But I was going to say, I tend not to do aggressive blocking unless the garment needs it. Like my... I felt that my Katarina needed to be blocked because of the rolling on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly the bottom edge I was concerned about because all the other exposed edges will have garter edging on them, but there was only, I think, one row of knitting or whatever. So I try not to overblock things, and I try not to pin them and steam the living daylights out of them. And I talked about blocking my twist a while ago and how I just blocked the cables out and left the rest of it basically intact. So
you told me, but have you told our listeners?
Yeah, I totally talked about it on the podcast.
Okay.
So that's my selective blocking thing. If you have something like a cable that you can focus on for your blocking, like, okay, I want the cable to really stand out and pop, so I'm going to just block this, or I'm just going to block this part. So I don't think that aggressive blocking is necessarily always needed, but I think blocking used in the right ways can make all the difference. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's about it.
All the cocoa knit sweaters do need to be blocked,
mm-hmm.
but again,
it's part of the look.
Yeah.
So... Excellent. Well, that's a good tip because we're going to continue knitting them. So, awesome. Let's power forward.
Mm-hmm.
One more really quick thing I wanted to mention before we move into our next segment is that I was at one of the local yarn shops this week, and this kind of falls into Mother Knows Best because breast cancer has touched a lot of our lives, and Yarn Dogs in Las Gatas is doing a breast cancer fundraiser for their Avon Walk for Breast Cancer team, which is called Knitters for Knockers. And they have raised a bunch of money towards the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. And a lot of our local knitters actually participate in the walk. And I think it's like a 3-day walk, which is amazing. It's a lot of walking. And it's awesome. So they're doing some community-oriented stuff. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because we are very involved in the local knitting community as well as... I want to say the larger community of women on the whole,
mm-hmm.
and not to exclude male listeners, but you know, it's important and all that good stuff. So, the owner, Deborah, I think, was talking to me about mentioning it on the air and that they're doing this event. And if you can support them or you decide that you want to support them, I will link to their website in our show notes and you can find out about donating and what they're giving donors and the event they're doing. But you know, if you can. I know that our purse strings are all a little bit strained right now because of the economy, but if you've got it to spare and you're interested, go ahead and check out the show notes and I'll drop it in there and you can take a look. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Are you a bag lady? At Pearlescence Yarns, we think that what you put your knitting in is almost as important as what you knit. We carry a broad selection of knitting bags to suit every need, from hip modern styles from Lexi Barnes to more classic looks from Della Q and Lantern Moon to contemporary florals from Amy Butler. Our newest addition is the Zucca bag, a rolling knitting bag on wheels. It's lightweight, durable, available in lots of wonderful colors, and fits a ton of knitting inside. Give your knitting a better ride in a new bag today. As always, we happily ship anywhere in the world.
It's when knitting attacks.
My. How my knitting has attacked this week.
Okay, what have you been up to? What has it been up to?
So, I've gone to a lot of movies in the last week. I don't tend to go out for movies very often, but I have mentioned before that I like to knit socks while we go to movies. And last Saturday, Man Candy, Tika Bell, Andrew, and I, along with my friend Cynthia and her husband, we all went to see the Wolverine movie, which was awesome if you like Hugh Jackman, and less awesome if you're a comic book fan. So, I thought it was great. I heckled. We'd had a great dinner beforehand. And then we went to the movie. So I happily was knitting along on a sock that I have been working on for about a year now, out of the Tess Alpaca socks, which is fantastic sock yarn, by the way. But I'd gotten the yarn to review, and I wanted to finish the pair so we could wash them and see how they were, because I talked about the yarn last year when I got back from Maine.
Right.
So I'm knitting away in the theater, and I hit the heel.
Okay.
So I got down to the heel, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of tired. By this time, it's like 10:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just put my knitting away. And I put it in the little drawstring baggie that I've got for my knitting, for my purse. And I thought I had tucked it in my purse. And after the movie, we went home. And I went to pull my knitting out so I could do the heel flap in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't there. So I was like, okay, you know what? I've lost sunglasses at theaters before because they fell out of my pocket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I can get back a pair of Anne Klein sunglasses, I'll get back my knitting. Let me tell you what. The Camera 7 Theater in the Prune Yard hates knitters. And here's why. So while you can get back designer sunglasses when you lose them, apparently when you call and say something like, I left my knitting in a gray drawstring bag, it's hot pink, it's got a clear bottom, in theater 2, in the back of the theater, on the right-hand side, they just throw your knitting away, I think. Because I've called every day this week, and I've been very pleasant about it. But my second sock is gone. It's over. I'm never getting it back. And I'm a little bit miffed. If it was a first sock, I don't think I'd be as bitter. But it was a second sock.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to send the first... it happens. I can send the first sock to Tika's charge for her ennui. I think that's a great idea for single socks.
Who did you knit the sock for?
Myself.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an Andrew sock that had gotten lost.
Oh, no. That I would have been furious about. But I was lamenting at Andrew about how... It's like, man, it's such a bummer. I'd already knit the first sock, and I lost, because the drawstring bag it was in was one of my little Tombin ones, which I really like, because they have a clear bottom.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome.
And you can see.
And they have a clip.
And you still managed to lose it?
I didn't clip it. I thought I'd put it in my purse. So. And I lost two sets of Addy needles, and I was just, you know, insult upon injury. So, and Andrew pointed out that I have about 7,000 pairs of circular needles.
That's not the point.
It's not the point. I want my knitting back, because I already knit the first sock. I don't think I'd be any... I mean, honestly, I'd probably be a little bit less miffed if it was a first sock, but my own stupidity gets me in the end. But really, theater employees, come on, don't throw away knitting. What kind of world is this? So, life's lesson. If you're going to knit in the theater, pay attention to where you put your knitting. And always stay till the end of the credits, until the lights come up so you don't accidentally forget it. But that's why I didn't knit through Star Trek today, because I was paranoid about losing yet another second sock.
But you made sure you packed your knitting.
Of course. You never know what's going to happen. What if the car had broken down on the freeway? I would have had no knitting. Even though it was like 80 degrees when we left, and 80 degrees sitting on the side of the freeway is not knitting weather. But anyway, so that's my first one knitting attacks. Why don't you talk about one of yours?
Oh, yeah, huh.
It's more when Jasmine attacks, though. Anyway.
When Jasmine attacks herself?
My goodness.
Well, I'm dealing with third sleeve syndrome.
Third sleeve syndrome?
Yeah.
Please. Enlighten
Elucidate?
Us. Yeah.
Okay, well, it seems lately my sweaters demand three sleeves. Or more.
It sounds like you need a song. My sweater has three sleeves. It has my sleeves. She has three sleeves. I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I decided that when I cast on the first sleeve, it didn't really, it seemed way too big.
Big as in circumference or big as in?
Circumference. Okay. I have bird arms.
Yep.
And the beginning of the sleeve looked just too huge. So I ripped it out and redid it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down a size.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
This is for Katarina?
This is for Katarina.
See, my Katarina sleeves ended up very wee.
Huh.
So that's why I have to block them before I can sew them onto my sweater.
Well, I cast on 32 stitches, and that was way too small. So after knitting a bit and trying it on,
mm-hmm.
it was just too tight in the upper arm. So I ripped it, and then I cast it on again.
Okay.
And we were at knitting Saturday. This was after you left. Mm-hmm. And I kept checking my decreases, my increases,
mm-hmm.
and I was 4 stitches short of the amount of increases I was supposed to have.
Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
And doing increases every 10 rows, that's a lot of knitting.
It is a lot of knitting.
And it wasn't increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I counted, and I counted where I've been doing the Lucy Neatby, put a string in your, put some yarn in your knitting, so I could look exactly where I had done my increases.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I hadn't. I was doing increases on one side and decreases on the other side.
Oh, no!
And sometimes decreases on both sides. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
The knitting group was very amused. And I kept saying, no, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I like this recalcitrant yarn that I'm knitting with.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be subject matter for when knitting attacks.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, I didn't do it on purpose.
No, we don't have to, unfortunately. I wish we had to manufacture knitting problems. I wish I was not foolish enough to do half the things that I've complained about in this. I have a monkey sock that I have to revisit because somehow, in the very simple monkey sock pattern, I have managed to foul it up on the second sock, on the foot of the second sock. So I'm like less than 3 inches from closing the toe. And it's been waiting for, again, a year and a half.
Monkey business.
Gah! But, you know, that's subject for another week. My when knitting attacks has to do with dyeing and a discovery I made while I was dyeing in my kitchen. So I have some yarn that I bought because it was half-price cashmere. And frankly, if the cashmere is half-price, I don't care what color it is because I have the power of a dye pot. And like I told a friend of mine, I have a dye pot, I have dye, and enough brain cells to make it better. Now, I don't consider myself a dyer at all, but I did take a fabulous class with Judith McKenzie.
Oh, yeah.
That class.
Yes.
I must have been in high school when I took it, so it's been a while.
Yes.
Anyway, but she was talking about you take these ghastly yarns and you drop them in a dye pot and they turn amazing things. So, like, the uglier it is when it goes into the dye pot, the better it is when it comes out, I've noticed. So I found, and I don't buy, like, the really awful stuff, but I did buy sock yarn that Tika and I overdyed when we were dyeing our Spider-Man blanket yarn, and that turned out fabulous, which mm-hmm. only encourages me. Let me just say that to start. So I bought half off cashmere. It's the Jade Sapphire 2-ply, their lace yarn, in Blue Blood Red. Now, Blue Blood Red isn't a red that Mom can wear, and I can't really wear it either, regardless of my natural hair color or my current hair color. It's a real tomatoey red. With a lot of yellow to it, but it was half off, and there were 3 skeins of it, which is enough for a huge shawl. So, I bought it, and it's been sitting in my stash marinating, and I was looking through folk shawls, and there's a shawl in there I really, really want to make. And I looked, and Cheryl knits it in worsted, but because she is, again, not a glamazon entirely, but just, you know, tall and lovely. And I'm not. I do not need a shawl that's, like, 80 inches around and, I don't know, even longer. So if I knit it in the lighter weight yarn and I knit it on the smaller needle, it'll be proportional to my body size. So I took thread and I looked at it and I said, what do I want this to grow up to be? And I decided I wanted it to be an eggplant purple. So I dropped it in a dye pot of navy blue jacquard acid dye. And parallel to that, I dropped some of the Knit Picks Bear in merino and silk. Did you just foul up your sleeve again? Mom is making faces at her knitting.
I'm off one stitch.
Poor mom.
You know, it doesn't bother me enough. I'm not going to rip it back.
Awesome. Well, so I had the two pots going at the same time, and mom was kind of standing there lamenting the fact that when she wants something to turn out a certain way, it doesn't always turn out the way she envisions. Are you going to admit that you had doubts that my eggplant was going to work? Because I decided that the red wanted to be eggplant colored, which is how I decided on the navy blue.
Darling, everything you do turns out much better than I expect, but my experiences with dyeing myself haven't been as good.
Yeah, so mom might have been heckling me a little bit while I was tossing stuff in and rinsing stuff. And
I'm not a stealth heckler. If I want to heckle you, you know it.
She was heckling.
Was not.
So, anyway, it had gotten late, and I was doing the dyeing on Friday, and I put the dye pots out in the side yard to cool. And because Tika and I had been talking about different dyeing techniques, and she talked about letting it cool in the pots so that something happened. And what it did is it absorbed more of the dye, which was awesome, because I had no runoff when I rinsed them. But Saturday morning, I went outside to dump my yarn out, and I saw a wasp fly by. And had I not been dying in my kitchen, had I not decided to use Tika's let it rest in the pots overnight, had I not done all of these things, I would have missed the 6 wasp's nests that were being built in my side yard. So I came in the house and alerted Andrew to it, and now we are wasp-free. But thank goodness that I was dying out in the yard. So, you know, sometimes knitting and dying leads to home repairs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was freaking out. I totally freaked out because they find all the weirdest places to hide. But anyway, back to knitting. So, dying saved us from wasps. Da-da-da. What's your other knitting attacks?
That's it.
Oh, I thought you had another one.
No, that's... One was a third sleeve, and one was the total...
Ah, yes.
Lack of math, or lack of paying attention.
Someday, we're not going to make mistakes.
I think maybe I need to have some knitting where I truly don't need to pay any attention when I'm in social situations.
Another Einstein? Oh no, there was a goof about an Einstein too. Never mind. Anyway, we'll talk about that another week. Let's move on to the spinning section, which actually does have to do with knitting this week. So if you're one of those listeners who likes to shut off before we get there, have faith, keep listening. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Introducing Abstract Fiber, a small independent producer of hand-painted yarn and fiber based in Portland, Oregon. If you love brilliant color and rich combinations, you'll love Abstract Fiber. We feature very soft fibers for spinners and felters and luxurious sock yarns. Our yarns are dyed to minimize pooling and striping and maximize color. Abstract Fiber's online store offers the entire line of yarn and fiber. Shop in your jammies 24/7. Orders over $100 receive free shipping. Visit us online at abstractfiber.com. So this week's Strand to Gold is related to my knitting, sort of. We'll get there. I talked about doing the yarn swatch for the Mariah, how mm-hmm. I did one with 3 plies and 4 plies, and I took it to the knitting group, and they wanted me to do a 5-ply as well and swatch with it.
Right.
So I swatched with the 5-ply because my 3 and 4 have gone AWOL somehow. And I'm ending up getting 4.5 stitches per inch on a size 6 knitting needle. Now, the Mariah calls for a gauge of 5 stitches to the inch, so I'm thinking of the 4-ply might work nicely. I'm going to have to go down needle size anyway.
Okay.
But I think the ribbing will look a lot sharper, a little bit snugger, because I tend not to like to block my ribbed sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm curvy and I don't have any weird bulges yet. I'm sure when I get the weird bulges, I will stop wearing, you know, skin-tight whatever, but I like my curves to be accentuated by ribs, and I think that's why I love knitting all those ribbed test tops, because they really are very flattering on me right now, so yay for me. But I might have fallen out of love with Tallulah because I still have to ply her, and I've never had a lack of inspiration with plying before.
You're not in love with Tallulah anymore?
I am, but the whole thing is this whole swatching thing? Tedious.
That's bad.
I know. And I know we tell people every week. I know. It's so bad. We tell people every week that swatching is important and swatching is this and swatching is that. So I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't swatch. But I'll tell you this. You have to swatch, but you don't have to like it. And with my little swatches where I did, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 yards of the yarn where I plied it up, the swatches go pretty quickly. And it was pretty enjoyable to knit with. And I just realized that, I don't know, if I don't get it on that first shot, that's the one downside of spinning your own yarn, is that you can't just be like, okay, I'm ready to knit and grab it and go. You have to actually plan it out a bit. So that's kind of where I'm getting stuck. But I have a feeling that this week will be Tallulah's week to get plied and then set, and then I'll cast on Mariah. It doesn't help that I bought more Malabriga, though. I ordered it like a month and a half ago. And I think she would look, the Mariah would look beautiful in hot pink as well. But anyway. So Tallulah needs to be plied. And that's good. So I decided that I was going to be on a finishing binge. Now, I think 2 episodes ago I talked about how I got all excited and finished my Abby and then finished this and then started finishing that, and how I was all excited with my knitting. And I'm kind of going through that with my spinning projects. And part of the problem is that I do have the little plastic bobbins to help me kind of not have my bobbins
occupied.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to, when I first started spinning again, I would spin a whole project and then ply it up. And I was really good about doing that for a long time. But then when you start spinning for sweaters,
that's a lot of spinning.
It is a lot of spinning, and especially at the weights I like to spin. So that's resting, and, you know, I just don't want my bobbins monopolized by other projects. So I'd had a couple of bobbins with some finer fibers. So I had some cashmere I bought at a class 2 years ago, and my goodness, it was full of dandruff. Like, I'm assuming it was dandruff, because they kind of looked like skin flakes and not like bugs, but my lap was covered in dandruff, and it was gross, but the cashmere ended up really lovely. And the thing about spinning it, I spun it semi-woolen. So again, if you want a really good explanation of woolen spinning, I will direct you to Megan from Stitchit's podcast, because she was very articulate. But basically, you let the spin travel up the fiber without too much fussing. But because I am OCD and a mild control freak, I can only be semi-woolen. I can't be all, ooh, let the fiber do what it's going to do. I can't do that. So,
yeah, I like to do that when I was spinning.
Well, you know, and it's one thing. I think how you spin is a lot of your personality. But this cashmere wanted to be beautiful lace yarn. So I spun. So I started spinning this when I got my Shacked Reeves last year. So about a year ago, almost. And I spun the better part of 1 ounce then, and then something happened, or I think I hurt myself, and I stopped using the big wheel. But the cashmere sat, so I finished spinning the entire 2 ounces that I bought. So those are resting on the plastic bobbins right now and waiting to get plied. And once those get plied, I will whack them and have them full, and that'll be lovely. And I'll link to my fulling videos. But I'd also had almost 1 ounce of bison spun. Now, I've spun the bison before, but I got more of it to practice. I'm a practicer. I like to practice. I like to test drive. I like dry runs. I really like to know what I'm going to get into. So the logic that I took, so I bought some Kvyat in Alaska last year on the cruise, which was very decadent and incredibly intimidating.
Buying Kvyat?
The idea of spinning the Kvyat to me was really, really intimidating, because I bought some. I bought enough for a real project because I was in Alaska and I only wanted to buy local stuff, and this Kvyat was local, and I got some, and I decided to practice on something else first. So I thought, what else has a really short staple and what isn't as expensive? And bison is, I think, a good analog, sort of.
Isn't bison terribly expensive too?
It's more expensive than wool. And more expensive than some cashmeres, but less expensive than other cashmeres. And I just thought it would be good to practice on, because I also really like it. And it's Judith's bison, which is all awesome and cool. And it's brown, which means it's this lovely chocolate brown color. And you can over dye it and get really rich, beautiful colors. So it had a lot of appeal, but practicing for the Kvyat was really the main event.
Okay.
So, and a lot of you might be shaking your heads and being like, wow, she's on crack. And I am. So, you know, I'm good with that. But, yeah.
Fiber fumes.
Well, it's just my own kind of crazy. I want my caveat to turn out really, really well. So I want to practice on something that's going to be close. So, yeah. So I finished the first ounce of that. I'm spending a second ounce because I have, I think, 6 ounces of bison total to spin for a great big lace project. Because, like I said before, if you're going to knit lace, you might as well use good stuff. So, because you spend so much time on those projects.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of buying the best that your budget allows.
Yeah.
Because you're spending so much time working on it. It should be lovely.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like, even cashmere lace yarn is not that expensive. Like, yes, it's going to be more expensive than wool, but it's not that much more expensive, generally.
Considering the mileage you get?
Yeah. That's an Elizabeth Zimmerman thing. Lace is very economical, and it can be super economical if you want it to be. But you can also make it out of really decadent stuff and make an heirloom item, you know? So, because for me, I was thinking about it, and I have some lace yarn that I got that's just merino. I know, just merino, such a snob. But now I'm like, you know, if I'm going to spend all this time knitting this really intricate lace, and after listening to Galena talk when we were airing her show, I kind of was like, you know, I have silk, I have cashmere, I should use it. So, I'm spinning up, and I'm on a finishing binge for some of the nicer fibers and projects. And I also started spinning Lena, who is a hogget merino. A hogget is a first shearing. And she's a little bit full of VM, but she's pleasant to spin. I got her at the Retzloff Winery last year from Janet Hepler. And, yeah.
Retzloff is coming up again, isn't it?
Retzloff is coming up in a month. So, and we're going to be there. It'll be fun.
Yes.
June 6th, go to the winery, spin, drink, eat, have fun. But, yeah, so that's about it. I'm spinning her fine for a sweater. I don't know which sweater yet, but I have enough of her that it doesn't really matter. I have well over 2 pounds of that, so, of Lena, so.
That's plenty.
It is.
One project.
It could be. I've decided that if I don't love spinning something or I get bored with something, because I have a lot of fleeces, I actually went through and looked at Asia, who is the author of the Sock Prawn blog, and she talked about these comforter bags that she was storing her fleeces in, and I thought, that's such a great idea. So I promptly went online and ordered some, and they came. The slow shipping that was $2 came in 2 days. I was blown away.
Tell me what a comforter bag is.
These are vinyl zipping bags, so they actually have zippers. Mm-hmm. They're not like Ziploc bags where you have to crunch them across. And they have like fabric sides. They're not fabric, but it's breathable, so it doesn't smell like your stuff is, like, after they come out, it doesn't smell like it's been in a plastic bag. And I can comfortably fit a pretty good-sized fleece in one of them.
It's the same thing that Terry Mendenhall uses to jacket her sheep.
Yeah, they're hospital somethings, curtains or something.
Drapes, I think.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But they're sturdy.
And the bags are sturdy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is that I was able to get, because I was putting one fleece per bag, I could label who the breeder was if I knew, what type of sheep, what the sheep's name was, and if I bought it at auction, what the lot number was, because I keep my auction information in a file. So
perfect.
Yeah, so
you're
pretty
so
pleased.
Organized.
And they take so much less space than the big Ziploc bags. I'm so pleased. I got all of my fleeces up, and I can see them all. I can see the colors. I can see the breeds. And what I can see most of all is that I don't need any more fleeces for a while.
Good.
I have more than 20 fleeces in my stash room. And they're all cleaned and ready to go, so I have no reason.
How long does it take you to spin a fleece?
That depends.
Monogamously.
Well, Tallulah took me less than a month, but I only had a third of her. And that was 20 ounces, 22 ounces.
And the rest are full fleeces?
No, some of them are partials. Most of them are partials.
And how many fleeces do we have?
A few. I only have 3 more left to come from Sherry from Boonville and Monterey.
You said you had how many fleeces in your...
22, I think.
That's a year and a half, conservatively.
Conservatively. And that's if I don't spin anything with color or review anything, which is so not happening. But that's my exciting thing. My other big tip, because I was spinning these, the fine fibers. Now, when you spin cashmere, and I say this every time, I like to spin fine, I like to spin tight. When you spin cashmere, when you spin bison, when you spin silk, you need to spin them at higher ratios, which means your wheel needs to go faster. So the Schacht has high-speed whirls that you put on. The whirls designate how many rotations per something. The rotations of the wheel versus rotations of the little thing, mm-hmm. I think. So the faster whirls are the itty-bitty ones, and the slower whirls are the great big ones. So I moved down to one of the high-speed whirls with my high-speed bobbins, and something wasn't right. And unlike last time, where I kept trying the same thing and thought, why isn't this working? I knew the high-speed whirl worked because it worked before mm-hmm. when I was spinning the stuff, the cashmere and silk from Abstract. And so I was like, I know. I'll oil it. Because, it seems, in the land of spinning wheels, oil can fix almost everything. I'm learning. Now, I'm not a professional. But it totally worked. So I oiled the little section that the whirl sat on, and it worked way better. So oil is always the first thing that you should try. Don't use too much, because then it's gross and gets everywhere. But I also ended up a little bit covered in oil after that, because I was not being careful, and I was in old pants anyway. So oil goes a long, long way. I know I promised you guys Sandy would talk about selecting fleeces this week, but she had a slight accident, so that will have to be on hold for another episode, but I promise we will do that soon. Her accident was severe enough to go to the emergency room, but she is fine. Thank you for your concern. But we will get her behind a microphone and talk to you about selecting fleeces for a subsequent episode. This week, we'd like to thank show sponsors Pearlescence Yarns, Verena Knitting, and Abstract Fiber, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. You can find absolutely everything we've talked about this week in the show notes, which can be found at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send your comments, questions, or feedback to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. You can find the link to our Ravelry group in our show notes, so please come and participate in the forums there. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.